question was asked, Bilam understood that God exists, he gets prophecy from Hashem, so what was he thinking to gain? How could he try to go against Hashem? So, the answer breaks up into a few components. Number one, we are taught over and over again that even the prophets, even Moshe Rabbeinu, don't understand how Hashem works. The fact that they communicate with him doesn't mean that Hashem works according to a science that they understand. Hashem has a system he works with, but that doesn't mean we understand it. So when Hashem shows up to Bilam and starts asking him questions, Bilam thinks maybe Hashem doesn't really understand everything. Maybe I can trick him. There's another component to this whole discussion, but that is component number one. Chazal say that Hashem will sometimes speak to a prophet in a way that the prophet can infer that Hashem isn't on top of things, and then the prophet has the challenge of thinking, am I going to do what Hashem wants? Because I can get away with doing differently. And this is a recurring theme in Torah. Hashem tells the earth, produce fruit trees bearing fruit, indicating that the tree itself should be a fruit. And the land, or the angel of the land, is allowed to understand that Hashem has given him the leeway to do it with one tree or with all the trees. And the land is the first to come out and say, I'm going to do the minimum and see if I can get away with it. The next is Adam. Hashem shows up to Adam and Hashem asks, where are you? So Adam thinks, gee, if Hashem isn't exactly sure where I am, maybe I can get away with what I just did wrong. So again, Hashem gives him the feeling, gives him the inference that Hashem is not on top of everything, and that's a challenge. What will you do if you think you can get away with something without Hashem seeing? The next person we find that I can remember is Avram Avinu. Hashem comes to Avram by the Akedah and says, can you please take your son? Indicating to Avram, you could say no. Say the Gemara. If you have to go, go. So this is a recurring theme where Hashem will give a person the test. That is a test of, will I do the will of Hashem, even where I feel like Hashem is not going to force my hand or take me to task over it? So Avram is given that feeling when Hashem asks him, can you please take your son Yitzchak? Adding the word kach no, please, indicates that Avram can say no. Hashem doesn't say do it. Hashem asks, will you please do it? Leaving Avram the room to say no. Hashem is clearly indicating, this is what I want you to do, this is what you should do, but you could say no. And so in life, that's a tremendous challenge. Bilam is also given that challenge. When Hashem shows up to Bilam and says, who are the people that came to you today? Bilam mistakes that to mean Hashem doesn't know. So Bilam, and this brings us to point two. Bilam has an issue with arrogance. Bilam does not have the self-worth Bilam should have. And so Bilam is always busy trying to get people, including Hashem, trying to get people and Hashem to value him. Bilam is always saying, you don't know how great I am. You know how great I am? Let me show you how great I am. So he tells Balak, he says, you should really give me all your money because look at how much I'm going to help you. And when their bon shom comes, Bilam says to him, you might not think I'm such great sheikhs, but on this planet, kings are summoning me. So what arrogance does is, arrogance is that drive for recognition. No one values me enough. You know, Mark Twain's line. Mark Twain said, whenever people compliment me, I'm always disappointed. I feel like they didn't say enough. And then I'm embarrassed internally for that feeling. Right? Okay, so that's Mark Twain's line. Coming back to Bilam. So Bilam says, "Their bon shalom, you might not think I'm so great, but look over here on planet Earth, even kings think I'm important." Bilam is busy trying to gain honor. He has tremendous arrogance. He has a tremendous desire for honor. And that misguides him. So point number one is that Hashem gave him the challenge of feeling like he can get away with it. That's a challenge Hashem gave repeatedly throughout Tanakh. Point number two is that even though he had that challenge, he also had the tremendous weakness of being arrogant and very interested in his own pleasures. You know what it means to sleep with his mule every night? He's not going to build a family. That demands of me. He's going to sleep with his mule because then he can get the pleasures he wants out of life without having the responsibilities that life demands of you. A wife would be too much. She might yell at me sometimes. She might be upset at me sometimes. A mule, what demands does a mule make? So night after night, he sleeps with his mule. He's very into getting his own pleasure and not giving, you know. So that misguides a person. So that when Hashem gives him the feeling that he can get away with it, Bilam does that. Another example we could say is Moshe Rabbeinu. That Hashem tells him, let me go, I'm going to destroy them. And I'll make you into a great nation. So that's a challenge. Moshe could say, I did my part. God said, let me go. But in indicated in let me go is you could also hold on and say no. So Moshe's challenge was to hold on and say, no, Rabbon Shalom, don't give up on them. Even though Moshe was given the potential to be the patriarch, all of the Jewish people would come from him. And Moshe says, no, Rabbon Shalom. If a chair that has three legs can't stand, then a chair with one leg certainly can't stand. If Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov can't keep the Jewish people going, then my descendants won't last either. And he begs for the Jewish people. He ends up getting the blessing. It says in Chronicles, Ravu Lemala, the Talmud understands that to mean that Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately got that blessing. He did have over 2 million descendants. The blessing came true in him, but he didn't agree to let the Jewish people go for it. So those two things, I think, are what allowed Bilam's sight to be clouded. The idea that Hashem gave him the feeling that he could get away with it, and then his desire, his arrogance. So that clouded his judgment.